This is Rafadix After Hours.
Oh hey, it's been long enough since the last time I did it that I can go avast, landlubbers or other pirate enthusiasts, I don't know. Welcome to episode 122 of Rack Addicts, and it is the most after hours it has been so far, I think, unless we did a really long one at the pub. I don't remember. Either way, you've got Ben in your ears right now. Pete will appear shortly. Welcome to our music and technology podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We must begin, as always, because we can't deal with change, the weekly update. Peterino, what have you been doing?
Right, I have firmly placed my foot on the gas pedal again. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending
on... The syndrome pedal.
Depending on how you want to look at it.
Fortunately, because we get to talk about it.
Yes, that's correct.
Lie down on the recliner and talk about your gas, please.
Yeah, so you most probably remember that I've pressed the button on the Hydrosynth Deluxe.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, that unit is delayed a second time.
Of course.
My personal unit, that is.
Just yours, nobody else's.
No, no one else's. So that one was initially, should be in my hands now, and it's not. And then it was delayed till sort of mid-May, and I've now been told the end of June.
Hot damn.
So who knows? I may see it sometime this year.
Maybe.
I can only assume it's something to do with the possible lockdown in Shanghai that's causing that problem, because there are major delays from shipments from China at the moment.
Yeah, well, Chinese company, Chinese manufacturing, all of the stuff will be affected, unfortunately.
Yes, indeed. So, of course, I've gone off and ordered more synths.
I know the one that was going to be ordered. Is it the one I'm thinking
of? Yeah, so I have now pushed the button on the UDO Super 6.
Lovely, because you were worried, are they going to be around that long? Because they're a tiny, tiny company.
Yeah.
And it's tricky these days.
Well, obviously that thought has crossed my mind. And also the possibility that the components, even though the units are built in Bristol, maybe the components will start becoming problematic. And then the supply...
Portions of it are done in Germany, I think. I'm not sure if that's just the enclosure. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know the actual details of their fabrication process. But anyway, I'm not going to take any risks. I need to get one in my collection now.
Awesome. What did you go for?
Grey.
And keys?
Yes.
Yes, keys.
Yeah, I'm not really that interested in the desktop version.
Cool.
And the control surface is much more spread out on the keyboard version. And the... At least the actual key tops or the slider tops are much broader and wider. It's just chunkier.
Gotcha. I haven't actually met a module, so I don't know what they're
like. It's similar, but it doesn't quite have the presence of the keyboard.
And it is a really nice key bed as well.
Yes.
Top stuff.
So that will happen. I can't predict exactly when, but it's not normal for me to have two relatively expensive synths on the go simultaneously.
Ooh, well, that's going to cause a logistical problem next door. What's going? Because something's going to have to go. I mean, you've still got synths over there that aren't out on the...
Yes, I know. It's just going to be more synths, because what will most probably go into a flight case will be the Access Virus, and then the Hydrosynth will go into its place. I'm not sure about the UDO. I haven't really given
it. Did you get rid of your second DeepMind?
Yes, I sold that to Mark at the same cost that I bought it in at.
Nice.
And I didn't have a particular issue with that, because obviously we are working together, or have been working together for quite a few years, and I'm happy to see it go to a good home.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be also outing the Peak, which I have been threatening to advertise for quite some time.
Probably like 2 years.
I know.
You did the pictures 2 years or more ago.
Procrastination
definitely.
Or what?
Yeah.
Well, there was also an issue. I'd realised I had bought it secondhand, and I had realised that I hadn't noticed that the end cheeks were missing. It didn't immediately resonate with me until I photographed it, and I was sort of looking at some other photographs of other ones on the eBay, and they went, where are my end cheeks?
I'm Googling it because I don't have a picture of it fresh in my brain. Oh yeah, it does have little thin wooden.
They're virtually exactly the same as on the Summit.
Mm. Can you buy them?
Yes.
Ah.
So I
got to do that.
Approached Focusrite and ordered a pair of wooden end cheeks. But alas, when they came, they didn't have the little metal inserts that actually say, and they're sort of snap in magnetically and obscure the screws basically screwing onto the case.
Yeah, so it looked really naff without them.
So I went back to them and went, "Oi, what's going on?" thing, and they kindly sent them those to me for free, even though they are under a separate part number. So anyway, £40 later, I can re-photograph the peak and get it listed and get it gone.
Last.
There's also the Tip Top Audio Circadian Rhythm. Mm-hmm. That's got to go. There is the, is it the M183, the sequencer that I built last year?
Not the Atlantis, the Metropolis alike.
Yeah, that's going to go. And there is also a couple of other bits and pieces that I've got to get gone.
Odds and ends.
And some camera equipment that I need to out. And that will make me feel less guilty about the stuff I'm buying in. Because also, on top of that, as you may recall, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, I've also ordered the Dofer, the A-111-6.
Something.
V for for vintage, if you want a black one.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So that was also delayed.
Is that destined for to my left?
It is destined for the Scarab.
Mm.
But I'm also going to build a second Scarab very shortly.
Yes, very shortly.
Overflow.
Here's an idea, just an idea. You could do a bit of a different arrangement of where your latches and hinges are, and on your second Scarab, put the little doobries on the bottom where the latches are currently, so it could hook into your hinge bits, and you can have the double system thing.
Yeah, sort of have them hinging top and bottom, so to speak.
Just for performance, obviously, it'd be a faff to try and get them to latch together, but...
Anyway,
yes.
The gas doesn't stop there.
Oh, wow, keep going.
I also purchased this.
Oh, wait. The genuine thing. Beads, and it's a real one because they won't be around much longer. May I?
Yes, of course.
Amazing.
So as I stated on our last podcast, once we discussed the fact that Mutable Instruments was essentially coming to an end, certainly for Eurorack modules.
The trinkets are still there. It's half a reindeer. That's kind of gruesome. Half a deer, half a something. Anyway.
I'm not sure what you're supposed to do with those trinkets.
Collect them all. I've absolutely no idea. ASMR. Right.
Yes.
This is the cloud successor, isn't it? I really can't remember what they all are.
Described as a texture synthesis.
Yes. Lovely.
Not tried it out yet, but I'm anticipating good things. I think the sample time on that is far longer than the clouds.
Yeah, and I think from what I've heard, it's different enough that you won't worry about having both, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I don't think you can have enough clouds.
No.
To be really honest, I've got two. I've got an original, and I've got the clone, which is actually...
Oh, the mini one,
in the Scarab unit.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you had a monsoon with the faders.
It's nice. It's completely different design, isn't it, the way it's laid out with the sliders, and quite discreet and small.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it for now, but who knows? Watch this space. There could be more.
Yeah.
The gas is out of control.
Oh, dearie me. Well... Absolutely no gas at all. Oh, wait, no, I did buy things. Damn. But not really gear, expendables, sundries, etc. But my week, I can't really remember what I did at all. All I can remember is today. Big long bike ride through the Bluebells, which was amazing. And yes, rides of bikes. Yes, that happened. I went places. It was fun. But more importantly, film stuff. It's time for a weekly film update, because why not? I finished on that bike ride my fifth roll of film from sort of general post Lake District holiday type that stuff. So I have two rolls of Portra 400, two rolls of Ilford HP5, and one of FP4, I think. And I shall send them off to AG Photographic, but this time I'm just going to send them for development, not scanning, because I mentioned in a previous podcast that will save me a lot of money, to the tune of, I don't know, £35-40 or something, around that kind of ballpark, because I have made a purchase. This guy, the Lomography Digitalizer, spelt weirdly, D-I-G-I-T-A, all caps, L-I-Z-A, Max. It is a doodad for film scanning. So, little backlight thing, film holders for 35mm and 120, and this particular version also includes a holdery majig so that you can scan your film with your phone, or you can just use the bottom plate to scan with a DSLR if you have that, which I don't have that working currently, but I might be able to borrow my partner's. Anyway, that will be a nice, cheap way of me beginning the film scanning thing. And of course, if there are actually any good shots there, I can always rescan them later when I have better equipment for it. But for now, it will help me save money, and it will pay for itself much faster than going for a, what was it? I can't remember what company it was, but a dedicated digital 35mm scanner or something. Anyway, that purchase has happened, and I'm quite excited to get five whole rolls of negatives back. That's going to be mad.
So how does it connect to the computer? I assume it does connect.
It won't. So it's just the light source and the film holder, and then you scan it with either a camera with a macro lens or your phone. So just be taking pictures of your negatives.
Okay, so it's scanning film on a budget.
Yes. From my research, there are a lot of people using some high-end Epson flatbed scanners, which, because of their resolution and stuff, isn't amazing for 35mm film and Newton rings and stuff. Most people seem to be going for the DSLR scanning method, which, once I've read up on appropriate macro lenses and such, I think I will end up going that route, just buying a lens for my partner's camera and borrowing that. But as I mentioned, for now, phone scans will be fine, just to learn the process and see if I actually took halfway decent pictures. So that's cool. I'm excited. Apart from that, I have purchased, well, I've ordered some film for the Scotland voyage that I'm doing with my dad. Have I told you about my voyage to Scotlandia?
Yes, you told us about the mission.
The mission. So, the film that I have bought is quite interesting. There is a company called Silbersalz. I assume that's how you pronounce it because they are German. Silbersalz 35. They take Kodak Vision 3 cinema film, so the stuff that would normally go in video cameras for cinema and things that some directors are like, no, we must shoot it on film, we've got to do it. So they take that and they package it for 35mm shooting. Now, the difficulty here is that it has some pretty specialised and complicated developing stuff, which they've decided, you know what, we're going to put in the effort, we're going to be able to do that, and we're going to offer it. So when you buy film from them, it comes with, included in the price, development and scanning by them, which is super cool. And it actually, even though it's kind of a bit of a specialist thing, works out relatively affordable compared to some of the other options out there, like Portra 400, which works out about £15 a go before development and scanning, so I'm feeling all right about it. I got the Selection Pack, which has a few different doobry-majigs. What does it come with? You get 50D, 200T, 250D, and 500T. For those that don't know, the 50, 200, etc., that'll be the ISO, and the D's and the T's are daylight and tungsten, referring to the colour balance. Being Scotland, where I'm going to be shooting this film, I have a feeling 50D might not cut it, because it's likely going to be gloomy and sad, and I'll want something a little bit more light sensitive, but we'll see how we go. We will be bringing a tripod, so I can always just do longer exposures, that's not really a problem. Anyway, it should give me a bit of a cinematic look, and we will see how it goes. And I'll let you know when they're back. Actually, when am I going? We're going to need to figure out when we're podcasting for this one, because I've got quite a lot of holiday happening. Yes, in a couple of weeks, I'll be off.
What date is that?
That'll be Friday the 20th until Tuesday the 24th. Lots of distilleries to visit, lots of countryside to hopefully not be soggy in.
I'm sure we'll manage to fit some podcasts either side of that.
Indeed.
And you'll have plenty to tell us all about.
Yes. But we'll see. I'm quite excited to shoot that film. That's going to be cool. That's it. That's the update. And we have synth news. Now, our middle section, as always, I am going to surprise you with some news, Pete.
Go on, shock me.
London Modular's closing.
Okay.
Yeah.
How come?
So, they put some posts up on their Facebooks and Instagrams and such, and I'm going to read them to you once Facebook has stopped being weird. Here we go. It may not come as a surprise to many of you, but since our store was forced to close at the start of the COVID pandemic, we have struggled. Brexit brought an added complication, ultimately leaving us in a difficult position and with a choice to make. Selling modules in-store accounted for nearly all of our turnover, and setting up to operate fully online just isn't where we see ourselves heading. Face-to-face demos with daily interactions are the driving force behind keeping Eurorack Modular fresh and exciting. Without this, there is simply no buzz. After running the store for nearly 10 years, we feel we've achieved what we wanted with London Modular as a retail store. Our intention is now to apply all we've learnt into new areas and challenges. It is with huge sadness that we announce the forthcoming final sale on the remainder of our stock and B stock. On behalf of Simon, Phil, Gavin, Ed, and Danny, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your amazing support. We can't describe how much we will miss our days in store and the friends we've made over the years. Honestly, it's gut-wrenching in so many ways. You have been a massive part of our lives since we first opened, and we sincerely hope that our paths cross again soon. It's been an absolute pleasure. Take care and keep wiggling those knobs. London Modular.
Oh dear. Quickly, for anyone interested, there is an interview that we did on the Rack Addicts UK YouTube channel with Simon of London Modular.
Indeed. Go find it on the Rack Addicts channel. It's a good one. But yeah, thoughts?
I don't think they'll be the last to close.
Yeah.
I think it's been quite a painful time for retailers in general, especially if you rely primarily on footfall.
Yep.
And with all the lockdowns, that's painful. But even so, now that we're heading into this cost of living crisis, which seems to be stricken just about every area of business, I can see many more retailers of all descriptions going out of business, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's got to be extra tough for a super niche retailer in, let's face it, not an easily accessible part of London.
Yes.
It's a bit of a schlep to get there. And I mean, independent music shops have been suffering for ages anyway. Not fun.
So I also heard there was some major redevelopment happening in, I forget the name of the road, but I always know it colloquially as Tin Pan Alley.
Denmark Street.
Yes.
Haven't heard that.
I had heard that they've been all served with some compulsory purchase notices or something like that. So some major redevelopment, but that some of the larger retailers possibly were going back in. But to be honest, I'm not sure how any of them really survived because of what must be the really extreme high rents in central London.
Yeah. I had a feeling that since some of them have been there so long, that there might have been actual ownership of the spaces potentially, but no idea. That's the only way I could see the rent happening.
Trouble is, I can't imagine anyone owns property up there unless your name is, I don't know, Windsor or...
Yeah, I mean, it does suck. I mean, I went to, is it Wonjo Synths, I think, was the place I first played a synthesizer. I think it was a Sub Fatty, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't bought anything there for 30 plus years.
Well, in my experience, it's where you go if you want to get ripped off buying a not very good instrument.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of sucks anyway, so I don't know that I care about it going. Sounds a bit savage.
But I can see certainly the small kind of modular retailers are going to struggle.
Yeah, I think there's a couple that are relatively new and exclusively online, so they'll be in a slightly better place, not having rent and all that.
But their problem will be getting stock.
Of course.
Because of the supply chain issues, so they're going to get squeezed at both ends.
Tough stuff.
Can't get the stuff people actually want into stock, and people are buying less anyway because they're feeling the pinch.
Big sads all round. More modular stuff, and more cheerful modular stuff this time. There's a new DivKid module, which is awesome, and it's another Bufaco collaboration, which is more awesome because I think Bufaco are brilliant, and they're some of my favourites. This one is a stereo channel strip in... How big is it? some HP. Hang on. It's a stereo channel strip in 6 HP. There we go. So, what do we got? We got some cool bits. It's nothing earth-shattering, but it's well thought out and nice. There is some drive in there to play with if you want. You have a 3-band EQ on little faders, which is super cool. Pan, mute, CV over the pan, and level. And it will do that stuff with mono or stereo.
Have you watched any of the demo or... primarily the DivKid demo for it.
No, but I imagine it's good.
Obviously, he's quite keen on it.
He would be. What's he got? The sections of the video, because he does section them up quite nicely. Stereo distortion, auto panner and tremolo, and one that he calls send with benefits. Quite fun. Yeah, utility stuff, but it's just going to be high quality and fun. And if you get the kit, will there be a kit? I don't know. If there is, it'll be affordable. So there's that, if you want some stereo panning and other effects in your life. Another module from ADAC System is an external controller type module. There's not a huge amount of these around. I know there'll be ones for integrating sustain pedals, expression pedals, yeah, those kind of pedals. But this one it's on a big old D-sub connector, but it comes with a big foot switchy boy. So I think the idea here is, if you're standing up when you perform, chuck it under the table and you've now got an extra appendage to make changes within your system. But it doesn't just go in that direction, or it doesn't stop there, or something like that. Let me find out what else it does, because I actually can't remember. So, 5 gate outputs from the switches, and on the back of the foot controllery majig contraption, you have inputs for 5 expression pedals, all of which will end up in the companion module as well. So it's pretty neat. For both bits, €380. It could be worse, but yeah, if you need some hands-free integration in your life, there is an option, because I can't think of anything else beyond just a sustain or an expression pedal. Joysticks, but then again, that's your hands, not your feet. There we are. Now, do you want to point and laugh at things?
Go on.
It's the Roland Juno X, everybody. They've made yet another digital thing and gone, ooh, this is earth-shattering. Let's give it to all the YouTubers so they can impress people. I didn't get quite the deep voice that I wanted there, because I don't have a deep voice. Pete, it's yet another Roland product that we don't really care about, do we?
No.
Because, as you pointed out, Pete, while we were sort of chatting about it earlier, all of the sounds in here you can find on the Roland Cloud for much cheaper, or in one of the Phantoms if for some reason you bought it, or in that tiny boutique doodad, which is much more cool than the other two things.
Or in the Jupiter X. Or in the System 8, most probably.
Yep, probably. I mean, it looks more Juno-y and like a vintage synth than most of the rest of the things that they've made, which will appeal to some people.
They've really gone for the Juno 106 aesthetic.
Oh, but they have.
But that's about it, and it's not cheap.
What's the damage?
I'm thinking it's around £1,600-1,700.
Well, that's a few squidlies. Yeah. I mean, ooh, you do also get the XV5080 and RD pianos, because that's exactly what you wanted in your life.
Some people really like that sort of stuff.
I guess, but there's so many more interesting synths around, and there's so many, if you want a Juno, there's loads of software options. You don't have to buy the whole.
Well, it's all so late when it comes to Roland. They're so behind the curve with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I can imagine there's a sound business thought about it. I mean, essentially, I regard Roland as a sort of digital company.
Yeah.
Whether that's digital instruments, or that's digital video editing, or video manipulation equipment, or large format printers. I even think
do that?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely do large format printers. Google it.
That's really left field, but okay.
And I'm sure at one stage they did sewing machines.
What? Okay, I'm Googling this sounds hilarious. It's like Peugeot making pepper grinders and all that. Oh wait, I think they still do. Yep, there we go. Yeah, cool. So if you need to get into your textile sublimation printing, you can choose Roland if you want. Cool, I guess. Yeah. Yep. No. Yeah. A digital company. What do we got here? Let's have a look at their printers range, shall we? Ooh, a desktop vinyl cutter for £999.
But they are the archetypal, relatively large Japanese corporation that has quite a massive range of products that stretch across lots of disciplines.
Desktop engraving machine. Cool. Okay. The Roland TexArt XT640 sublimation printer with take-up and ErgoSoft rip for £17,999. Brilliant. I've no idea if that's a good price. Anyway, sidetracked.
Yeah.
If you want a Juno, buy a DeepMind. There's the end of that. Bye-bye. There's our synth news done. Ooh, what did we say about Q121 last? Can't remember where we got to.
Can't remember.
Who knows? I'll talk more about it when we've actually got stuff. I caught up with Sam Beattie, actually, and he's in. Though he is in Edinburgh at the moment, but he said, well, I'll figure it out. Yeah. I think the 24 spaces are allocated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I assume.
Everybody signed up. So,
we're all on there.
Everyone's in. Because we had like 21 on the evening and then Sam Beattie and some other people. I don't know. But yeah, we're all full. You know what time it is, Pete?
Tell me what time it is.
It is 9:03. Terrible joke. Anyway, it's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. I'm going to go first because I can. I've got some music for you. There is a little EP or a collection of singles or something from Everything Everything, a British band that I'm getting into more and more. Well, is it just a single? I've no idea how they're packaging this up. But, interestingly, and I think you modular people might want to take a listen to these, based on the title of one of the three and some of the feel of the synthy bits, I think one of them might have gone a bit modular, because one of the tunes is called Teletype, like the Monome or Monome stuff. Either way, we'll see. But Everything Everything is the band. The songs are I Want a Love Like This, Teletype, and Bad Friday. They're good fun. If you haven't heard Everything Everything before, I will not try and describe them, because what are you supposed to do? Is it synth pop? I don't know. It's just weird. And the lead vocalist does a lot of falsetto stuff, which is kind of cool, very distinctive sounding. But they are bangers. So go find them. Everything Everything's latest stuff. Pete, take us away. What have you got for us?
Right, this week, multimedia recommendation from myself is another YouTube channel. Surprise, surprise.
Do you watch a lot of YouTube then?
Anyone would think so, wouldn't they? This YouTube channel is entitled Tom Dilettante.
I think that's how you say it.
I hope that's how
I've
you say it.
I've never used the word in normal speech.
Anyway, Tom is from Illinois and he's an ex-Marine Corps veteran and a DIY devotee. So it's a sort of weird crossover, sort of, I wouldn't say ultra survival, but he's always sort of doing stuff. He's got a 4x4 that he drives around, but he's kind of kitted it out.
Mm.
You know, and there's lots of things like usual sort of stuff, CB radio and all that sort of stuff, but he's got all sorts of appendages and accoutrements and things like that.
Appendages to his 4x4.
And then various other things that he does. And it just looked sort of geeky and interesting. So basically, that is my YouTube multimedia recommendation for this week. It is the channel Tom the Dilettante.
Wonderful stuff. Now, please do reach out to us on social media, because we have it and we really want to talk to you specifically in the bath. I know. Yep, you. You. We want to talk to you. Find us at Rack Addicts UK, wherever you so choose. And we'll catch you next week for episode 123. Farewell.